Chris, I've spent a little time Wednesday and this morning talking about Tennessee, and the conclusion each time is nobody has any answers. What do you think is happening there, including the addition of Kevin Steele, when apparently they were under a hiring freeze?
Yeah, no, they were. In doing some of my work, I was in conversations with certain guys, and yeah, there's a freeze, so that was true. A couple of things that I believe that this is in the hands of Bob Phillip, the president chancellor, is making the call on the future of Jeremy based upon the investigation. So that is the NCAA investigation. I don't know. Certainly they're getting information and feedback. Look, for people who say that he's gone and it's just a matter of time, they're just guessing. Because if it was a done deal, he'd be gone already. So it's not a done deal. It's pretty obvious if you sit there and say, oh, he's coming back. Oh, he's gone. Well, you got a 50-50 chance of getting right, okay? So I mean, it's just one of the two. And if it was a definite decision, we would have heard it by now. So while the decision and the freeze and everything is being handled above Fulmer, and I think the end result will be what comes out of the investigation, because what will happen is if they find something on him, you know, people say, well, they fire him with cause. Well, depending on what it is, as you know, Bill, what normally happens is you sit there and say, here's what we got on you, here's the situation, here's what you owed, here's what we're willing to pay, and you negotiate it. So that's a real part of what's going on and will determine whether he's back or not. The hire of Kevin Steele was, I think, was done, obviously, with Phillip going up top and saying, look, regardless what we do, Kevin is a guy that comes relatively cheap because of the money he's getting paid from Auburn. And so Kevin is going to come in and, A, help Pruitt this year as he comes back, or be a guy that they can slide in if they have to, if this investigation goes longer or they decide to move. They've got somebody that they can turn to. So that's my read on it. Now, that doesn't answer what people want to know. Well, what's going to happen? Well, I don't know. I mean, they don't know. How the heck do I know? And again, if they would know for certain that Pruitt was coming back as we sit here today, they would have already announced it. If they knew for certain he wasn't coming back, they would have already announced that. I think that it is a mess, as it normally is in Tennessee, but that's my read on it. And I think we'll obviously we'll figure out the rest, obviously, whether Jeremy has another year. But I think it's clear that the football part of this is really important, because if he was having great success, then they would be trying, still doing the NCAA investigation, but they'd be looking at it through a different lens. And now they're looking at it as maybe a jumping-off spot that could be less costly than before. But they also look at it. So that's how I make the read. Kevin is a unique guy that has a good relationship with Jeremy, good relationship with Phillip, and he comes cheap. And I actually think Kevin is a really good coach that has always been someone that you can put in a role of an assistant head coach, multiple. That's why it's a very nebulous role. Is it going to be coordinated? Is it going to be assistant head coach? He's good, whatever. That's why I think it's done that way. So,
Chris, you've been part of staffs, and that's also a delicate ecosystem. You bring Steele in there, and obviously he's known Phillip dating back to the 80s, and he's known Jeremy. They worked together at Alabama, so they're familiar. But if you're the defensive coordinator right now at Tennessee, or you're whatever, don't you think this creates a bit of discomfort? Maybe it doesn't have to be negative discomfort. Maybe it makes everybody, you know, tighten up some. But boy, you got to think that coaching. I know they're not all in the same locker room, you know, together all day. But man,
oh, there's no question. No, it's both. discomfort and confusion, because right. Confusion leads to discomfort. There's no doubt, which is why they're kind of leaving it the way it is.
Right.
And again, so just to kind of look at it again, and you know, Phillip, so you know, Phillip will go. I mean, Phillip and Jeremy will say, "Hey, look, this is a guy that can really help you," and you know, so he sells it as a really good idea. And I don't know that it's a big sell because I think Jeremy knows what's going on. This is a guy that can help him. But if it turns out that they find something on him and Pruitt's out, well, then here's a guy that, you know, is somebody they can turn to if they choose to, and is not involved in anything that's taken place to this point. So now for the current coordinator, yeah, it's very difficult, and I'm sure they'll couch it like, look, I'm here to help and I'm here to serve whatever role, and in an undefined way initially until they figure out the rest. They can't sit there and say, defense coordinator, you're fired, because they don't necessarily know. I would think, though, you're in that position. It doesn't look good for him. And I would think that he, along with everybody else on the staff, as well as because we've seen guys there leave, and we'll see players leave. I'm sure he is absolutely looking to leave because I don't think his future is very good with Kevin being there, because even if Kevin would not be in the defense coordinator role, would probably have a lot to say about who he'd bring in. So I think what Kevin does, he's kind of like a Swiss Army knife. I mean, he can fill a role of a head coach, an assistant head coach, a coordinator. I mean, he kind of fills a role that is a comfort level, and we all know that he was very high on Phillip Slith, and he's got an affinity for that program, having played there. So that's my read on it. And but where exactly he fits in, I don't even think he knows at this point. He just knows he's coming in, and he's going to get paid very well through Auburn and have, you know, something coming to him from Tennessee. So because there is an offset in his deal.
Yeah. Rock Westfall says, ask Chris why Hugh Freeze is so radioactive.
Well, I mean, he's got the off the field. Same reason why he's always been in that situation is ever since he left Ole Miss. I think there's been time, and I think people just made the assumption, oh, he's going to get back in this year and he's going to get one of these jobs. And the answer is no, he's not. He hasn't had any one of those offers. I thought he'd been a really good football hire for South Carolina. I thought that would have been a real good, we'll shake up the world and do something that, you know, we normally don't get to do here. And they've done, well, actually done it twice with Lou Holtz and Steve Spurrier type big hires. But this is another guy that could maybe be somebody we can build around. They had no interest because of that reason. They wanted one of their own guys. They wanted somebody with a little bit more of a polished background. That is the reason. That is the one and only reason. The other thing you need to keep in mind, too, is Hugh is definitely interested. And so when you hear his name, and this is with any coach, when you hear his name associated, well, he's a candidate for this and that. Folks always think these reporters are getting their information mostly from the agents. So when the agent tells you, oh, yeah, so-and-so's interested in you, and they don't usually tell the reporter themselves. They usually give it to somebody else who's going to give it to a reporter. And so all of a sudden there's this belief that, oh, man, Hugh Freeze was on Auburn's list, South Carolina's list, this list, that. He really wasn't high on anybody's list. I think he probably should have. I think he should have been, personally. But he wasn't, and that's something to keep in mind, not when it just comes with Hugh Freeze, but when you hear about, oh, people are interested in Jim Harbaugh in the NFL, Dan Mullen, people want to – that's a lot of newsy information that comes often from the candidate side and not from the team side. I think that distinction needs to be understood, and I don't think it's often understood, Bill, because people just associate it with they read and hear. And in this world, the information age, I like to call it the misinformation age, because the reality is you can look at the real candidates list as I see it from the inside most of the times, and it's not the same as the media list that's often put out there.
One more before the break. Clay says, ask Chris about what he's hearing from Vanderbilt as far as the coordinators are concerned. And there was news recently about Mike Denbrock.
Yes. I don't know if that would be a really good hire. Mike's a really good coach. And, yes, there is legs to that. What he's got to decide, obviously, is towards his future is kind of the same thing we talked about with Clark. So Clark took the job. It's a difficult job, but it's his job. It's maybe not the best job for his future, but we'll see. It's home for him. So it's the same thing for coordinators. It's like, you know, all right, so you've got your coordinator there. You can go to an SEC coordinator job, which is good. What are the other options that you have? What options have you had in the past? Is this something that if you do a good job that you can elevate? Of course. But what are the chances that you can do a good job, or what are the chances that maybe are better that if you stay where you are, maybe you might get a better job down the road? So that's the difficulty. I think it's his job if he wants it personally. But that's a decision you got to make. You know, we had situation on the staff with Marcus Freeman, of course, that had the LSU job if he wanted it. But, you know, really it was always Notre Dame. And speaking with Marcus, because of not just because of the Midwest connection with his wife, but he was looking for stability. You know, the LSU situation has been, you know, it's been good for some. It's been one and done for other coordinators. So he looked at that situation as more stable. Well, Mike's got to do the same thing for his future. And I don't know if he's going to say this is the right move or not for him. He's got a connection to Clark. So we'll see. Overall, I'm fairly impressed with what they've been able to do with the staff. So with that Vanderbilt with Clark.
All right. Chris, you got a couple minutes here? Other side?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
More Chris Landry, LandryFootball.com. Bunch of questions coming in as well. Omni, Nashville Hotel.
Often imitated, never duplicated. Wordsmithing like a mofo on college football, it's Bill King.
Chris Landry with us. LandryFootball.com will let you know how you can get all of his vast information. Chris, got a bunch here to cram in this last segment.
Sure.
Jeff, too, asks, and it's a multi-question for you about Alabama. First of all, wants to know how many you project from Alabama in the first round.
Wow. Devontae Waddle, Surtain, definitely. Mac Jones, I think we'll probably get high second-round grades, could probably go late first. You could see possibility of Leatherwood, Barmore, Najee. You could have as much as seven, probably in that five range. So 5 to 7.
Did you mention Surtain, too?
Yes, sir. Well, okay. Surtain's definitely,
right.
Definitely high first round. Same with Waddle, Devontae. But I think Mac and, well, Najee, to me, I think Najee's definite first round, in my view. So I think as many as seven. But remember, you're going to have about, we just need to see you all's coming out. Everybody,
sure.
Not just at Alabama. And I, you know, we'll normally have about 18 to 22 first round grades, but that means high second round value goes in the first round. And I think that although all seven of those guys would represent high second round value or higher. So that would put all of them potentially in play.
Also regarding Alabama, Jeff too says, ask Chris about Bryce Young at quarterback and how that will match Bill O'Brien as the likely new offensive coordinator. And Chris, I would assume, you can correct me here, that hire is probably all done but the paperwork. Would that be accurate or not?
Yeah, you know, Bill, just quick story, Bill is actually, since he was let go with Houston, actually been doing some stuff or communicating with the Alabama staff, you know, obviously through Saban.
Right.
He's been doing a little research long before, you know, it's come out publicly the last couple of weeks. It's been most of the season. So he knows Bill very well, going back from Georgia Tech days when he worked with O'Leary, and obviously the connection with Bill Belichick. Bill's a really good football coach, really good play caller. Look, I think the young quarterback's got a lot of natural talent. I worry about his height. I don't know that the passing game will be quite as proficient. So, you know, what they're going to do, they're not going to change dramatically. They're going to want to do the same things that they've done. RPO stuff, I think the one thing that they probably can do even a little more, or may have to, depending on how well the passing game is they may run a little bit more out of spread formations. But it's still going to be RPO spread, but it's going to be an element of physicality running the football too. There's no question about it. And he has done really good jobs in the past with quarterbacks. I mean, he's a good quarterback teacher, hard-nosed teacher. That's going to be key. You know, they've got to obviously put the right fit as the offensive line coach, as Kyle Flood is moving on to Texas with Sark.
Jason says, ask Chris what he thought about Ohio State's defensive game plan in the national championship game.
Well, there's a couple of things that went into that. It was not just the game plan. It was being short defensive linemen. So they ended up having to play more linebackers and quite frankly, short depth wide than the secondary. So they were really outmatched there, as I thought they would be in the passing game. You throw in the fact that when they tried to man up and do the best job of playing man coverage, they were getting gashed because the job that Sark was doing with pre-snap motions and formations, they just could not cover Devontae. So they ended up playing zone. Well, they did an equally effective job of attacking zone. So when you are attacking zone, you've got to cover in your area. And I thought they did a couple of the big busts. You know, people will say, well, you got a linebacker on him. Well, they didn't have a linebacker on him. They had a linebacker that was trying to cover him short that has to run trail, but the safety bit wrong, and you've got to cover over the top. So they didn't have a linebacker on him. They had a linebacker underneath and a safety over the top that misplayed it. But, you know, people will kind of look at it as a narrative. Well, now, that's still a coaching error. I mean, if they're not doing it right, you've got to correct that. But it wasn't like, oh, yeah, well, let's get a linebacker on him. I mean, nobody said, yeah, I got a good idea. Let's put a linebacker on Devontae Smith. No, what they're trying to do, they're trying to bracket him. They're trying to roll to him. But the safety's got to bite the right way. And I thought that Sark did a great job of getting the safety just a little bit off put at the line of scrimmage at the snap. And that was enough. You can't miss at all. You have to be ahead of things, not behind things, a split second. So that's the key. So the game plan wasn't effective, but quite frankly, no one's had a game plan. Name me a game plan that did a really good job of slowing down Devontae Smith in Alabama. There wasn't one, and I think there's an assumption that Ohio State was going to be able to do it, or Clemson or someone else. Wrong assumption. Just not going to happen.
Chris, quickly. Sean Wade, and did he hurt himself dramatically in the scouts' eyes, or is he simply a safety and he'll be better off at that position?
Well, I think he's a better safety prospect, but he didn't play well this year. It wasn't a good year for him. Late
right.
Start, not playing much, and certainly didn't play well when he did.
Brandon, as in Gator Brandon, wants to know, Chris, is Chris Ash more than likely the hire for Florida on the defensive side of the ball?
He's in the mix. I don't know if it's more than likely. I think he's in the mix. I think that, you know, he's really a good candidate that they have an interest, but they've got an interest in a couple of other guys too.
Your thoughts on Sark, obviously earning this incredible opportunity at Texas, and anything you're hearing staff-wise?
Staff's pretty much done. I mean, Kyle Flood's coming with them. You know, he's keeping both Andre Coleman and Stan Drayton. Actually, pretty much done. I think he's got right. Well, he's got the coordinator, defensive coordinator hire, and so he's in pretty good shape there. You got Giddy in there, and but he's looking at the defensive coordinator is the one position. Look, it's a he'll the whole issue, it's not about play calling. Okay, that's what was his job before in running an offense. It's about getting the players to buy in and building a culture at Texas. And everybody that tries to pick one of those Belichick or Saban guys, you don't get them when you hire one of those guys and you bring them over. It's can they replicate in their new job what has been done before? And the real key is to be able to constantly adjust. You know, you don't win with a style or an offense or a defense. You don't win that way because everything in football is a constant change. So what's your ability to build a culture and to be able to change as things go along? I like, for example, Kyle Flood being the run game coordinator. He'll have the offense coordinator title. Sark will run, call the plays and run the passing game. That's really good. But, you know, it's about the recruiting. It's about the culture. It's about getting them to do all the little things. That's what makes Bama special, not just the play calling. The play calling is a byproduct of the culture that they build within and the players buying in. So you can have great play calling, but if you don't have the players that are as good and they don't buy in as well, it won't work as well. So that's a long way of explaining in detail that let's wait and see. I think he's capable, but so have some other guys been capable and not had success there.
Chris, foregone conclusion, Urban Meyer and Trevor Lawrence live in Duval County, Florida soon?
No, I don't think it's a foregone conclusion at all. I think that if it was a certainty, it would have been done already. I'm not saying it won't happen, but I don't think it's a foregone conclusion. If I had to, just a guess, I'd have to guess, you know, if it's less than 50-50 that he takes it. But we'll see.
So you think there's still some hedging on his part?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I don't think that there's
– right.
I don't know that – look, I mean, they're actively interviewing other folks because I think they're recognizing that he might not – and I don't think it's a certainty that it's his job. I mean, I think, again, that has come from not from Jacksonville, but that's come from Urban that, oh, it's his job and he gets $12 million a year and all that. That's not coming from Jacksonville. He may end up getting the job and he may end up getting it, but that's coming from his agent and those folks. That doesn't mean it's not true. It just means that's where the news is coming from. But so the narrative is going to be that if he doesn't take it, he turned it down. I don't know that anything's been offered from what I understand right now. So we'll see. I don't know. I don't know that the problems that he's had are any different at this point. And the stress level, I think the ego and wanting to do it, the NFL's there. But I just think he's kind of one of those, we'll take it to the end, and then in the end, he'll probably say no. That's my guess. Don't know anything. It's just a guess.
Chris, tell everybody how they can get your information.
LandryFootball.com is where you want to go. You can get the television channel, the Twitch channel, catch all our shows, all our podcasts. But you get all the film room breakdowns. You get all the coaching search notebooks, all the news and notes in our notebooks on college football every day. Certainly the NFL as well. We've got the division round this weekend, all the film room breakdowns there. We're going to have roster analysis, all the college programs, recruiting. It's like having your own scouting department, coaching department for less than a magazine subscription. So check it out today at LandryFootball.com. We think you'll love it.
Outstanding, Chris. We'll see you next week.
Thank you so much. Take care.